Welcome to the 57th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a cardiologist living in Southwest Florida. I'm also an endurance athlete. This podcast is hopefully to help people understand the health benefits of becoming plant-based, side effects of helping the planet and helping animals. I also intermittently bring endurance athletes and people that write about endurance sports and how it associates with a healthy lifestyle to the podcast as well. Before we get started today, I am happy to announce that we have launched on Eventbrite tickets for the upcoming first annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. And that'll be held January 23rd in Punta Gorda, Florida, at the Isles Yacht Club. You can buy tickets at eventbrite.com. Our guest and featured speaker is Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, so we're very excited to have him. His wife will also be joining him, and she'll be doing a discussion as well. We'll have Evelise Capo, who is from the food pharmacy. She's a PharmD, and she will give a cooking demonstration and tutorial. We have Dustin Rudolph, who wrote he is also a PharmD and wrote The Empty Medicine Cabinet, and he will be giving a lecture on reversing diabetes through plant-based nutrition. I'll also be giving a talk on the pitfalls and challenges of becoming plant-based in today's world. So it should be a good day event. The whole thing will be followed up with a panel discussion with everybody there for the last hour. We'll provide a breakfast and lunch that's a whole food, plant-based, no added oil menu. We have a chef here in Punta Gorda that is very much on board with a whole food, plant-based, no added oil diet. And he's become very interested in expanding his menu, so we'll be helping us out with the breakfast and lunch. So it should be a very exciting day. It's a good time to come to Florida. Now, January is usually guaranteed sunny skies. It can be a little cool in the morning, but it's always sunny and warm in the afternoon. The Punta Gorda area is on the Peace River, you know, you can do a little day trip boating, there's shopping, and some sightseeing. We're close to Fort Myers in Sarasota, so those are other places that you can visit, but it's certainly a nice visit, a nice time of the year to be in Southwest Florida and just take advantage of being outside. I thought I'd share with you my Thanksgiving, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We had a nice gathering, a family. My daughter was in from West Virginia. My boyfriend and his mother were down, my mother. So we had a nice little Thanksgiving gathering. Some things, you know, to do or not to do on Thanksgiving. I decided to make a seitan roast for the first time. I've made seitan burgers and I've made seitan sausages, but I decided to stuff a roast with cranberries and walnuts. So I made the seitan and rolled the cranberries and walnuts inside, and I did all the usual preparation and steaming it, and I thought I would put it in the oven just to kind of crisp it up on the outside before serving. We also had a field roast, and so it was already in the oven. So I put it in, and I left it too long. So right when everything was coming out, everybody's gathered around the kitchen. You know how it gets when it's all chaotic in the kitchen, and I go to cut the seitan roast, and the outside is so hard that I couldn't cut it with a regular knife. I'm grabbing different knives. Finally, I got a serrated knife to get it cut. Of course, people are gathering around. I'm starting to get nervous, and it's kind of falling apart. The stuffing's coming out, so kind of stuffed it together and got it back on the plate. So, you know, I was very frustrated. It reminded me a little bit of the Christmas Vacation movie with Chevy Chase when they're trying to eat the really crispy turkey. But so we were had a little crispy seitan. The inside was good. The outside was a little too crispy. It did taste good, but I was a little bit disappointed in my presentation, so I'll probably alter that again. I wouldn't put it in the oven for, I tried it. I would think it was in the oven for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I would never do that again. Probably 5 minutes at best if I wanted to crisp it up a little bit, but I don't even know if I'd do that. I think I'd probably just take it out of the steamer and go with it like that. And I would probably change the filling. I probably change it to maybe a nut and mushroom type filling next year with just a few cranberries. I also think I'll probably practice before Thanksgiving Day. Well, I have an opportunity at Christmas, so I'll probably make one at Christmas and see if I can't get that recipe a little bit better. But the rest of Thanksgiving turned out good. My daughter made an excellent pumpkin pie, and we had lima beans and sweet potatoes and mushrooms and mushroom gravy and mashed potatoes and green beans. So we had plenty of food to eat, and had it to eat for the next couple of days, actually. So that was good. So yes, even the best laid plans don't always work out. So I hope your Thanksgiving seitan roasted a little bit better than mine. This week in my office, I had some interesting things happen that I thought would be a great topic for discussion. The first is a patient that had taken my class that came back into the office, and he had lost 25 pounds during the class. And after the class was over, he had actually been so excited. He would tell me every day at the end of class, you know, how it's helping him, and he's feeling good, and he's breathing better, and they feel so good, and he loves the food. And even sent recipes to his daughter-in-law, who he said was, significantly overweight, and was a little bit disappointed when they called back and she hadn't tried it. But then he went on to say that he had been off the plant-based wagon, so to speak, for the last month and had gained weight because he had family visiting, including that daughter-in-law. And they didn't even think about cooking plant-based when family came to town. And the reality of it is they really didn't discuss it much with the family as far as the health benefits that they were seeing from a whole food plant-based diet. And I spoke with him, and it's like, well, if you wanted your daughter-in-law, and you recognize the merits of a whole food plant-based diet, and you wanted your daughter-in-law to try some of the recipes, and obviously she was overwhelmed with, you know, maybe trying the recipes, and she didn't know whether she liked them or not. If you had cooked them when she came to visit, then she would have got a taste of how good it is, and maybe she would have been more likely to try as well. And he and his wife had never really thought about that. And I also asked him whether he had actually, you know, declared to his family that he was following a whole food plant-based diet, and he really hadn't. And I think that that's a big pitfall. And we discuss that, you know, maybe next year or the next gathering, they could say that, you know, their house is plant-based and they're going to eat a plant-based meal. And if somebody wanted to come and bring a covered dish that wasn't plant-based, that would be okay as a transition. But they were becoming plant-based for their health. I think not declaring what you're doing is license to not do it. And we talked about that with, you know, I talked about that with he and his wife, because he really hadn't, you know, in the back of his mind, he really didn't want to eat plant-based over the holiday. And if he didn't really declare that he was a whole food plant-based guy, then he could go ahead and eat the rest of the fixings without feeling guilty. Because it was just a diet that he had been on, and, you know, he was just going to be off his diet for that period of time. So I do think it's kind of important to discuss with your friends that you're going to be, you know, following this whole food plant-based lifestyle, and that it's certainly okay for them to do what they want. But, you know, perhaps in your house, this is the way it's going to be. And then the transition, because I know that the transition to whole food plant-based diet for myself was, you know, much easier once the house was declared, you know, we're going to be plant-based in the house. And we kind of made, I guess I made the decision that when we did that, from that day on, you know, we weren't going to have animal products in the house. So I don't have people, I don't really want people to bring a covered dish to my house that's not plant-based. And that's just, you know, kind of the rules I set. You know, certainly I wouldn't send them away or, you know, whatever, but I don't certainly encourage it and kind of declare it before anybody gets there that, you know, this is a whole food plant-based house and this is what we'll be eating. So sometimes it becomes touchy, but that is a way of transitioning. You know, if you're okay ethically with bringing animal products into the house, then, you know, they could bring a covered dish. And so they have their meat and you are plant-based. So that's one way to maybe negotiate the holidays. But it really, you know, it still boggles my mind that family tends to be the biggest distraction from becoming healthy. You know, your family wants you to be healthy, but they don't want to be affected by it. You know, and this guy was really worried that his family wouldn't come to visit him if he was plant-based. And I don't know that he ever discussed that with his family, so I don't know that that was a fair assumption. But it worried him enough that, you know, that he, you know, basically changed his diet. And it's so ironic, again, that, you know, your family wants you to be healthy. They want you to be around. So what's the big deal at declaring, you know, yourself going to eat in a healthy way? And again, most people, well, everybody will benefit from eating a better diet. So introducing them in your house is an easy way to do it. The other thing that I was, you know, thinking of, you know, people were worried about, you know, eating just whole food, plant-based, and there's no animal products there. And then I looked at my two German Shepherds. And we have one, the biggest one, he's 110 pounds, 105 to 10, depending on, you know, what his exercise and treat status is. But he loves bread. And my dad used to feed him from the table or feed him and give him a lot of treats. But bread was his favorite thing. The dog's allergic to wheat products. We didn't find that out or figure that out for a long time. But he loves bread, and he will, if he hears you eating bread or sees you eating with your hands, he immediately wants to be around. The rest of the stuff, you know, even meat, he's not crazy about begging for, but bread, you know, he loves. And of course, they all like anything that's left over, you know, whether it's, you know, sweet potatoes or green beans or squash, they love to get that and eat that, you know. And there's a lot of discussions on some of the sites, you know, well, dogs are, you know, carnivores. Dogs can actually, but, you know, in reality, dogs can actually survive on a vegan diet. But the reality of it is they're pack animals, and when they're around humans, they want to eat what humans are eating. And so they're perfectly happy to eat vegetables with us or off our plate, well, not off our plates, but, you know, from the table or leftovers. And they don't care. And then you contrast that, we're worried about family members not getting meat. And they're not obligate carnivores. They just have just acquired a taste for meat. So maybe we should become more like pack animals and, you know, just kind of eat what's, you know, eat what the going thing is. So if you have a plant-based Whole Foods house, then, you know, the pack has to eat whole food plant-based. So I don't think that that's such a bad idea. And the reality also is that, you know, our dogs aren't going to leave us. They're very dedicated. They're very happy to be in the pack. And no matter what we had to eat, you know, even if we were starving and we had to split some little small morsel, they're dedicated to us and would stay with us. So I think the family can, you know, get over people becoming whole food plant-based and stick with the pack. The other thing that's kind of funny that I see in my office that people will have an abnormal blood pressure for maybe the first time they've noticed it I got called in a panic by a person I'd seen a couple years ago for borderline high blood pressure that now was having blood pressures in the 150s, 170s, and even saw one in 190s, and they wanted into the hop and wanted in to be seen right away. On the same token, I never get the call that people are having trouble following a plant-based diet and what should they do. So, you know, we kind of panic over being sick, but there's not much panic on how to stay healthy. So, again, it's a whole mindset that we have to become aware of in order to change our nutrition and our dietary habits. You know, there are a million books out there on how to or what, cookbooks, and they're published, and people collect cookbook after cookbook. I know I have a bunch of them. The reality of it is you might refer to a couple of the recipes or look through at the pictures, but that's not really what gets people to being whole food plant-based. I think they have to immerse themselves in the education and really buy into the fact that they're helping their health and they're actually eating for nutrition as opposed to eating just to be social. Another thing that happened this week, you know, I had a little patient that oftentimes some of my elderly patients are panic when they lose some weight. Maybe they got sick and lost weight, or they had a surgery and they lost weight and they want to gain it back. And the reality of it is when they lost the weight, they were actually closer to their normal for them weight based on their size or height. And, you know, I often tell them that, you know, they're fine. You know, it's a nice weight to be at. It's easier to carry around. They'll have more balance. They can become lean and start to do, you know, move more. But they insist on gaining weight. For instance, this patient came in this week that, again, the last time I'd seen her, she was worried about she was too thin. So she gained 10 pounds. And she's a little lady, you know, about 5'2". But then she was unhappy because most of the weight, you know, went to her abdomen. And of course, you know, if you just eat excessive calories, and again, they're not high nutrient calories, you're just going to store things at fat. So just because you have a little fat mass, you know, as an elderly person, it doesn't make you healthy. And, you know, if anything, you know, the abdominal fat, you know, fat is a hormone and it produces all kinds of bad things that's not going to help you in the long run. I had a patient this week post-op at a hospital that I give nutrition lectures. And post-op day two, I went in and they were eating white toast and eggs and grinning ear to ear. I had another patient at another hospital. He can only walk 25 feet, walks to the bathroom, huffs and puffs, but he was sitting there enjoying his pancakes lathered in syrup. And he was a diabetic with sugars of 300. And you just, you know, it just blows my mind to see this happen in the hospital. That same patient eating the pancakes ended up having severe coronary artery disease. He's had multiple stents. You know, and sometimes these stents, one leads to another stent, leads to another stent. They cause reactive tissue. He couldn't tolerate the blood thinner. So he's had multiple procedures. Yet he told me that he didn't have much support in changing his diet. He lived alone. And even though he could cook, he didn't know that he could actually stick to it, would rather have a procedure done. Despite all those other angioplasties to fix, you know, what was bothering him and to get the quick fix and then go on and he would try. So, you know, it's a whole mindset that we have to, you know, change. Because I actually talked to him. I said, you know, we can do this one of two ways, but, you know, your disease is so bad that you're really going to have to be strict. It's not this, you know, it can't be a gradual conversion to a whole food plant-based diet. It's got to be now. He's like, well, I really don't think I can do that. I had a patient call in talking about she can't remember to take her flax seed, so she wondered whether she could take flax oil because she can't remember to take her flax seeds. And this lady is really overweight, and you know, I just, again, blows my mind. You know, people can remember to eat pie and cake and sweets and go out with their friends, but you know, this one really important nutrient that they can take in, they can't seem to make it a priority and want an easy way out. So I do think that You know, there's a lot of work to be done on bringing people aware of the importance of the nutrients they put in their body, as opposed to just piling in the calories and for the short-term happy sugar fixes. We get a box from our local organic farmers co-op, and it started this week. And we had a bag of dandelion greens, a bag of kale, a bag of peppers, a bag of tomatoes, and a bag of cucumbers. And that's something that, you know, really look forward to. And now we get the box every week, so whatever's in season. So today at lunchtime, I came home and I just washed all the dandelion greens, and I had two portobello mushrooms, the big ones, and I just threw them in the skillet with the dandelion greens, and I cooked them up, and tossed a little tahini on there, a little tamari on there, and had that for lunch, and it was a fantastic lunch. And I actually cut up one of the tomatoes that were in the bag too and just put it over top. So I mean, that's a quick 20-minute lunch that took nothing. I did it all in the skillet with just a little bit of water, no oil, and got, you know, probably 2 or 3 cups of greens for that serving. The other thing that my mom and I had this week, and we actually have had it twice now because there's just the two of us so far this week, she makes a dish with cabbage and sauerkraut. So sauerkraut's really good as far as being a prebiotic. So she cooked the cabbage and the sauerkraut, or chopped the cabbage up after she steamed it. Threw some sauerkraut in there, some diced tomatoes, a can of white beans rinsed, and some brown rice, and baked that together. And we like this hot pepper relish that's just hot peppers in a vinegar type of sauce. She put a little of that in there for spice. And so, I mean, that was a great casserole that we had with a salad. Actually, we had it 2 nights in a row because it was so good. And it actually gets better the second day because the flavors tend to melt together. So things don't have to be complicated. And I would encourage people to, you know, cook simple first. And then, you know, on the weekends, if you want to try, you know, a new recipe. But it doesn't have to be difficult. I had a patient today that came in. He actually had a heart attack on the interstate driving, and he just happened to be at an exit where a surgeon friend of mine is practicing in Alabama, and ended up having an acute heart attack. So he was having, you know, a heart attack, so he had a cath, and he actually went to bypass surgery and had 3 vessels, and he came in, and he and his wife thought that they cooked or they ate healthy, and they actually paid attention to their diet. But and I asked them, well, you know, so what did you have for dinner last night? And they said they had salmon, and they were proud of that. It was broiled with little oil, and they had asparagus, and that had a cheese sauce on it, and then they had a mixed green salad, and the salad had oil and vinegar. So, I mean, to their mind, and for most people not following a whole plant-based diet, that would be on the healthy side of eating. And then I asked them, you know, some of their other meals. And, you know, again, when they recounted, there was a lot of cheese, and they used a lot of oil to cook with. And they tried to eat chicken and fish, thinking again that that was healthy. And so, you know, we had to have the talk right away. It's like, well, this is a progressive disease, and you know, whole food plant-based diet is the way to go here to reverse things. And they were very interested in changing their ways, but they were also very shocked that you know, dairy wasn't good for you, olive oil wasn't good for you, fish, chicken wasn't good for you. And nobody from their whole admission to discharge had ever talked to them about changing their diet or inquired about their diet. And I asked him, you know, and he smoked until he came in, went in for his heart attack, and, you know, he quit right then and there. He said he'd never smoke again. And I asked him, you know, he considered himself healthy. And I was like, well, how do you know you're healthy? You know, And I said, what's your cholesterol? And he didn't know the number. And I said, well, how do you know you're healthy if you've never had your cholesterol checked? He said, well, I go and get a physical every year. And again, that goes back. If you get a physical every year and you don't have any idea what your cholesterol is, you assume your blood pressure is okay. He's not overweight, so he assumed that he had no symptoms. The doctor said his physical was good, that everything was okay. So, other than some yearly blood work and maybe a blood pressure, if you can't take it on your own, there's not a whole lot of benefit for that yearly physical, because it doesn't predict anything in the year if your nutrition is poor. Anything can happen. Next week, I'm going to have Dr. Greger on the podcast to discuss his new book. And December 23rd, Dr. Brooke Goldner is going to be in town. So if you happen to be close to Port Charlotte, Florida, and you'd like to come to town to hear her speak, I think we're going to have her at 6 o'clock. The location to be further delineated, but it'll be someplace here in Port Charlotte. Give me an email and we'll be happy to have you. Again, check out Eventbrite for tickets to the first annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. It's going to be great, and I hope to see you there. If you have questions for me, jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. My website is drdulaney.com. Feel free to check that out. All the podcasts are there, some recipes, and keep up to date with what's happening. So until next time, I'm headed to California for the California International Marathon. Unfortunately, I am not going to be on the starting line. My boyfriend will be. I am dealing with a bit of a posterior tibial tendonitis right now, so I'm hoping that's going to clear up pretty soon. It's been a little frustrating. I've been on the bike trainer. I can still do some weight training without much discomfort, but swimming and running have been out. So I hope this gets better quick, because I'm a little grumpy over not being able to run. It's my favorite sport of the three. So anyway, I'll be the Sherpa for that race, and we'll be cheering everybody on, and let you know how that goes. And I'll be back next week with Dr. Greger. So until then, eat plant strong. Don't forget to eat your greens and get out and get some sunshine wherever you are.